Welcome to the 8 Billion Project, where we're on a mission to make an impact by discovering and sharing the purpose of every person on this planet. I'm your host, Lisa Florida. Enjoy today's episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 8 Billion Podcast. I am your host, Lisa Florida, and today we've got a very special guest. She is a solutionary business strategist helping futurist activists and entrepreneurs break the rules of engagement and the institutions they uphold. Her strategic assessments go beyond the typical limiting reviews like entry barrier and market competition to help her clients gain a holistic view of the change of opportunities based on faults and systems whose outcomes her clients want to change. Everyone, this is going to be a very special podcast. Help me welcome Mina Raver to the 8 Billion Podcast. How are you, Mina?
Oh my gosh, I am so excited. I'm sure you can imagine. I'm so excited to be here with you, Lisa. This is an exciting time to be having these conversations.
It is absolutely an exciting time. And I just told you, like, my heart was beating so fast because I was like, oh, can I do this interview? Because Mina, you are absolutely such an amazing human being. Audience, I have to tell you, even in our pre-podcast interview for this young lady, she absolutely blew my mind. I knew I had to have her on season 5.
I wish everyone could see how pink my cheeks are right now.
Well, if you tune into the video, they could see you. But, you know, I mean, we have got so much to cover. But you know what? What I'd like for you to do is probably give just a brief history of your upbringing, and then we'll go from there, because it is very interesting. And that's what kind of caught, you know, for me, especially when you submitted your bio, that's what really caught me. And then our pre-podcast interview was just mind-blowing to me.
Sure. Oh gosh, I had so much fun there. So I'm Mina Raver, and I come from a background of being unwanted. My mother's family was Klan, and she and her father had a falling out. And so I was brought into the world to spite him. I would not say, though, that those circumstances have anything to do with what I've been brought to contribute either. Shortly after having her fifth child, mother left the family, my dad got sick, and I dropped out of school to take care of my younger brother and sisters. And that was difficult, but I also think it's one of the most wonderful times in my history, because I'm naturally extremely curious and just a voracious absorber of information. And you can't be that in institutional education. So during that period of growing myself from, you know, about 12 years old to adulthood, I also raised 4 kids and started to develop a love of understanding the world that was based on the freedom I had to explore anything I wanted.
It's amazing. I mean, honestly, when you just say that, because I know your history from the pre-podcast interview, I mean, I know that there's so much more to it, but that has led you on a path that's been absolutely spectacular, something you should be so proud of. So I don't know where you want to, if you want to continue leading off from there. Do you want to continue telling your story? Because you did have even a run in Congress.
I did. And that's the second half of the story. So everything
okay,
I just
perfect. Because I was like, she didn't talk about the Congress story. I was like, she's got to talk about the Congress story.
No, of course. So all of that was as a kid. And as a kid, you're extremely vulnerable. So what I got to see going through those things as a kid was the tremendous humanity's aptitude for just kindness and goodness, and the difference between people who live in communities together and people who direct those communities.
Yeah.
And so as an adult, the following 10 years, I went from homeless high school dropout to Big Ten graduate and congressional candidate, because as a child, you're not so vulnerable, or when you're not a kid, you're not so vulnerable. And so with that courage, or sorry, not courage, that curiosity, and now the ability to make decisions for myself, I went and got that degree that I wanted. That's how I learned that academia is too stringent for me, and met my husband when my car broke down and in the Black Hills, and now I'm still cold. And just built such a beautiful life. And the first thing that I wanted to do once I had that, it was a kind of not just power, but I had lived and really birthed the American dream that I had believed in.
Absolutely.
And so the first thing that I did with that was offer to try to hold that door open for others. And so I ran for Congress on the tagline and the belief that we leave no one behind. And the reviews were kind of mixed, because in that space, even more so than when I was vulnerable, in that space, I really saw the difference between people who are in community together and people who are directing those communities. And our interests are not the same. And we're really going to have to, and I've seen firsthand that we are capable of, and we really must take advantage of what we have, which is our ability to create community and to co-create mm-hmm. new ideas, new institutions, new solutions, not just to the pain points that we're offered in marketing, but to right. the real problems that we're facing on our own.
Absolutely. You know, Mina, though, as you were talking, I was just like, I have a feeling she's going to be our next president, or you're going to be one of our presidents. I only say that because you also understand it was just mixed reviews, because you were way ahead of your time in your philosophy and the views of your life. It was just like in the same essence, me too. And when I started 8 Billion, and I don't know if this is the first time I'm going to talk about it, I masked the fact that my mission was 5D. I mean, there was also, I came upon that time that I came across someone that did a soul memory for me. And she did tell me that my mission here in this lifetime was to pull down the 5D. Wow. But for me, and that was after I had started the podcast, but even after that, I was still not seeing that. And the big thing about fifth dimensional consciousness is unity consciousness. We also know it seems very woo-woo to people, but with the shift in energies that just happened, I think even you, if you ran for Congress again, you'd have a much different response than your first run.
Maybe.
Because I did say that, and I kept saying this since last year, we are going to have a rise of new leadership in this world. And just mark that what I said, because it's true. They're going to rise in every industry, but they're going to be different types of beings, awakened beings, people that understand like just what you were talking about. And you talk about this here in your bio, social actualization. Could you expand on that?
Sure. Well, if you've taken any preliminary psychology courses, you've probably heard of self-actualization, mm-hmm. which is pretty much the highest achievement you can gain on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Social actualization is that in a community. So we're looking at a situation here, and I don't mean to get dire, but the reality is we're facing a handful of extinction events over the course of the next 50 years. And physicists and astrophysicists, people like Dr. Michio Kaku, they predict that we have about 100 years before we reach type 1 civilization on the Kardashev scale, which is just being able to live on the energy that you have available without producing so much toxicity that you can't survive that way.
Right.
But we could probably cut that down tremendously if we had a society that could rally around our own survival.
Now, okay, could you give an example of what that would be? What are examples of that?
Right. So that would be an example of that on a mass scale would be confronted with climate change. And so everyone goes, let's solve this problem instead of whatever, you know, mm-hmm. we'll fix that in a few generations, right? Social actualization is being able to actualize ourselves as a being. I don't think that, and I'm looking around and I don't believe that as a group, as a conglomerate, we are able to appreciate that we are a single body and that that body is in distress and facing extinction.
Mm-hmm. That's why this season means so much to me. Because mm-hmm. if we don't set the pace for really, awakening, right? Really awakening, activating or igniting. And when I say that, I'm talking about like the healing journey to really understand what you guys are mm-hmm. or what everyone is. We're all powerful light beings, but it starts, and that's exactly, and even when you say like, climate change. That's the whole reason this next step for me after I record season 5 is to do a documentary anchored in climate change.
Oh, that's so important.
It's really important. I was just like, and then I even posted something, Nina, I was like telling you right before I got on this, I posted something like a beautiful art piece that said, this is the riskiest time in human history to play it safe. Like if we don't stand up now and we don't take a stand for all of this, and I don't mean it like, you know, causing separation. If we don't do it in unity, mm-hmm. like it's exactly what you were saying. In 100 years, you're just going to have to use whatever energy's left. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me, Mina, that gas prices are $7 a gallon when, you know, when we have the sun. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that it forces all of us to move into solar power.
Yeah, that would be a huge step. But without that social actualization, without people understanding that and making decisions, individual decisions that lead to a collective movement, the way that we do with absolutely everything else. Mm-hmm. Until that happens, we're not going to have these social awareness and institutions in place to facilitate the kind of technological change that we need. So when I hear physicists talking about how, you know, with everything considered, we'll be here in 100 years, and knowing that we're going to be facing the worst of these extinction events in mm-hmm. 80 years.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up, but it would only take us 5 years to restructure the institutions mm-hmm. that we have in place to make sure that we're facilitating self-actualization, social actualization, because there are two aspects of this self-actualization thing. One is Maslow's hierarchy of needs has not been used to help people reach their potential. It has been used as a model to create self-policing hierarchies in our society that keep us from reaching self-actualization.
Wow.
That's number one. And number two is, I just learned this last night, that model is actually based on the Blackfoot, and excuse me because I cannot remember their actual name, but the Blackfoot communities, their model of actualization, which actually begins with self-actualization, then moves into a community awareness and actualization, their development into the community. And then the third wave is a generational actualization. And that's where you get that concept of 7 generations, where people are thinking of themselves not as in the service of their ancestors, but in the service as an ancestor 7 generations from now.
Absolutely. I was just in a conversation this last weekend talking about that, most especially with the shift. And when I referenced to the shift, Mina and I were talking about this before we started recording, that there's been a huge shift in the energies. And I was in a yoga
it was a Yogini Path class, and the teacher was talking about that women have been suppressed from using their voices for about 7 generations. Mm-hmm. It's interesting though, like the synchronicities and how fast time is collapsing right now, to be able to have talked about that and then you bring it up. It's like that's what's happening in human consciousness right now. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was so, like I said, it is so important for me to do this season 5D. It was just almost, the timing was divine. It was like impeccable. And to bring over 30 people into this one container with everyone saying, this is the direction we have to go. Mm-hmm. You know, if we don't do that, that's why I'm all like, Mina, you're running for Congress, honey.
I think that I am really better positioned to build the frameworks and the formulas that incredible people use to bring their own visions into the world. Because for me, what was driving me into politics was actually kind of that base fear, right? I think before we talked about our cardinal fear and how identifying the fear that's motivating us can help us choose our purpose. Mm-hmm. And for me, I offered to run for Congress because I'm a damn good fighter.
Yeah, you are.
And so so much energy and so much ability to fight verbally, physically, whatever. And the problem with that is, I mean, sometimes I'll need it for the rest of my life, but the problem with that is, if you believe that you are going to fight your way to change, mm-hmm. you're going to run out of energy before you run out of enemies.
Yep. I was just going to say, because in what we do now, including myself and you, it's not fighting, right? It's holding that power and knowing from every ounce of your body, right? It's embodying who our being is. And when we stand in that light, it's like, all the big figures, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa, Gandhi, there was no violence in anything that they did. There was so much power though. Why do we always remember them as figures? Mm-hmm. Because this is the time that each of us have that opportunity in human history to do that. Not for only ourselves and our own awakening and our highest potential, but for the collective altogether. Mm-hmm. It almost seems like if you had brought this up or we had this in a conversation in a podcast before, this would seem very utopian society. Right? But it's not, I mean, it's not. We, in a way, I don't want to even say that we don't have a choice, but we don't. I mean, Elon Musk is already trying to get us to space because he knows. Mm-hmm. He probably knows already.
Not all of us.
Right? And if you think about it, 100 years, I mean, I do believe that we are moving into that place where we are going to be living, about 100 years or a little bit longer, if we can all heal properly, right? It's all of that is, and then we share a collective energy. So all of us healing is helping everyone else heal, mm-hmm. because what we once used to regard as okay in society or things that we used to live by are just going to be no longer acceptable. Mm-hmm. Right? All the, like what you're talking about, the pain points, like no one wants to live in pain anymore. We're tired. Right. We've been through a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying is it's going to be incredible. And whether you like to do another round of running for politics, but like what you said, you'd rather build the structures. I'd rather see you build the structures because you have the heart to do it.
That's what I love. And this is important, and I really want people to hear this, because the people who are going to determine who we are in the future are learning how to walk right now.
Yeah, I agree.
They're here, and we really have to give them something, because they're going to mature either into a system that is ready for them, that is malleable for them, and be able to turn things around quickly, or they're just going to sit there and die. And it's uncomfortable, but change is going to happen. Change is happening right now. We've already made the decision. We've already crossed the first thresholds on climate change. We're not deciding if it's going to happen anymore. Right now, we're deciding how many survivors are going to be left. Mm-hmm. And every single person alive right now has something to contribute in directing what this change looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true, because we look at it from a view of, and I'm pretty sure I have every confidence that, or that, excuse me. See, I'm getting tongue twisted here because I could see it in vision in my head, but I'm all trying to put it into words, you guys. This is beyond words when you guys will understand the depth of what we're talking about. But when you talk about climate change, let's just even say from an expanded view, Mother Earth is a living organism. And that's what people have to understand. We've been taking from her, drilling into her, you know, ravaging her. And that's why I'm saying, if we grow as a collective, even in our energy field, we heal Mother Earth. And this is exactly the big mission. Because there's a lot of people that talk about, because there's different reasons why people went into climate change, not really understanding the base of what we're talking about. For me, from a spiritual standpoint, Mother Earth is a living being, and she has her own womb. She has her own heartbeat. And we've been taking from her, it's time for us to heal as human beings. And then, of course, you know, take it into our social structures. And then from there, collectively, we end up healing her as a planet. If not, we don't have anything. And that's not very far, 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And the actual development of these changes has already begun. And the actual impact of those changes is going to be really changing the way that we live here in the next few years. So it's 100 years until we would reach our peak. It's 80 years until this climate crisis reaches its peak, and the math doesn't add up. But if that's not compelling enough for you, say you're one of those practical people who can't be swayed by the emotional, here's something else. In our history, there are two types of civilizations in the world. There are those who created their gods in the image of their fears, and there are those who breathed their gods in the image of their relationships. One of those groups became conquerors. They expanded and they mastered, and not in a positive way, everything that they could touch. And everything in their vocabulary is about mastering, dominating, shaping, commanding. And that is the world that we have created. One where we're in a constant struggle, one where we're constantly fighting to command and master something that we belong to.
Yeah.
We belong to the rest of existence. And now we have this tremendous power for co-creation.
Yep.
That would be enough if we could remember the wisdom of the other communities, those who cast their gods in the image of their relationships, who were on the verge of understanding biomimicry, who were on the verge of understanding energy as a symbiotic force rather than one that has to be exploited. That's our history. And so all we really have to do now is let the other side speak. We already have the answers.
We do. It's almost like, Mina, I'm like bursting and overflowing with love right now.
I see you.
That's why I was holding my heart. Because it's, I did this in a live yesterday, and I said, the energetic shift, right? We're almost moving into the age of Aquarius. We pretty much are. We're at the dawn of a new era. And I'm not saying that it's this women empowerment, like, yes, men even have the feminine energy in you. All you've got to do is shift to that side. It's the soft, it's the kind, it's the loving side. It's everything where freedom is and where receiving is. It's not like conquer, let's go after, let's do that. And that was great. And we can fuse those two energies together. But when you mix them well between the masculine and the feminine, it's beautiful because it's the right balance of what we need right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that conquer, that that direct energy, in its shadow side, it is overpower, but in its divine side, it is direct, it is divine, it is understand, right? And so the masculine, like a healthy masculine energy, is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
And for any man who thinks that they're going to be robbed of their masculinity or that they don't have femininity, BS, put a baby up to your cheek. Yeah. And you get the same flood of oxytocin that any woman does. And it's that ability, that capacity to be in an energetic, chemical, and physical act of loving something.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we mean when we say the feminine, instead of just direct, command, master. Those things are important, and they can be directed in a more fruitful, symbiotic way.
Yeah. It's the masculine that is command, direct, what you, all of that, that you were explaining, that is the wounded masculine. The very healed masculine, the very healed masculine and feminine fused together, and then even in a sacred relationship, is absolutely beautiful. It is a relationship and energy field of creation.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're just like exactly what you're saying is we're taking so much that's why there's so much greed in the world. That's why there's this harvesting of power in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are really here to do is really co-create.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful when we reach that place.
It really is. Yeah. It absolutely is.
It's so amazing. I feel so blessed to have so a wide range of guests that come from everywhere. And at the base of everything, they're getting it. Like they get it. That's why it just made me, everything from my visions of when I was going to start this calling is beyond my words, because I never imagined that I would see this. In fact, I was just saying to God, like, are you sure? Are you sure it's me that's going to be doing this stuff? Because I'm a single mom, real estate, and my son's graduating. And what has unfolded in front of my eyes in the last 2 years is just beyond me right now.
I'm with you 100%. I'm with you 100%. I keep seeing these things and hearing these things, and it's so far removed from the beliefs I had about myself and the mm-hmm. kind of things that were reflected to me growing up. So now I'm like passion, you know, and speaking and all of these things, and almost like catching up to myself going, did I just say that out loud?
Yes,
to exactly. A room full of people who just got activated.
Yes. You see, do you even know that, Mina? You're probably, we're having this moment on a podcast. You know that you're like an activator.
I found that recently.
Yeah, because as this is going to kind of get out there, audience, I'm just letting you know, but I already said it earlier that we are all light beings, and we are, when we are healed of all of our programs, we are clear channels and conduits of light and love. And so when I told Mina she's an activator, it depending, you know, if you're a light worker or a healer or whatever your, you know, whatever your calling or your mission is, you could speak words into people and you can activate them. And that's mm-hmm. simply by energy.
I found that accidentally, actually, when I was running for office. Before I stood up in front of my first crowd, I had never spoken publicly. And I used to have extreme, like debilitating social anxiety.
And yet you spoke.
Yes.
Almost as if it was channeled in a way.
Exactly. And it was everything that I believed in. And I could not believe how I was able to, because first of all, I was the first Black woman to run for Congress in this state. And so, and I had just turned 30 and I had a new baby with me because I'm an attachment parent. And so I had my baby with me everywhere I was going when I was having these conversations. And you could feel in these rooms, these people like, why the hell are they telling us that this is the candidate?
Yeah.
And about 2 minutes into any of those speeches is what they really were. They weren't conversations, they were speeches. You could feel the room just synchronize around their potential. They saw and believed things that they hadn't before. And many of them told me that. Most couldn't articulate it. They would come up to me and say, I don't know what I feel right now, but I'm voting for you. I don't know what I feel right now. And so that's when I really started to explore, like, what the heck is this? Like, I had no idea that was just sitting there.
It's a gift.
All these years, but they wake up, they feel themselves and their power and walk into the world. And I want to create a space where people can sit with that for a little while, like baby blocks, and play with it for a little while. Mm-hmm. And so when they walk into the world, they know what it is. So when they bump up against people who are comfortable, they don't lose that feeling.
Yeah. You know that the babies that are coming in that are being incarnated right now or that are being born are completely like high frequency light.
It's so amazing.
It's amazing. That's pretty. Yeah. I'm even like hazy right now, just talking about it. They're beautiful light beings, because I even just had a podcast recording yesterday, and she has a 2-year-old that was saying, like, he knows how to do breathing exercises already. Imagine what we know now, Mina, if we just knew that growing up, we would live in a completely different world. That's why I'm saying we know where we're going. Mm-hmm. It's just that we have to be that support team and that support system to implement all of that. We are the linchpins.
Yeah, exactly.
We change the trajectory. We change the lineage, the generational curses, everything. It's up to us.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And it can be done, and it can be done quickly. And that's the first thing I want anyone to know. If they're going to sit down in a space with me, I have absolutely zero tolerance for change happens slowly. Change does not happen slowly. Change happens rapidly, predictably, and can be sped up. The only time change happens slowly is when someone's standing in the way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I agree. Because even the place that we're in, I know, I hope we don't lose the audience. No, but they will get it. There's a reason we're having this podcast. What is happening in human history right now is time is collapsing. It is absolutely collapsing. But it also is, it's in conjunction to how we tap into our higher self. Of infinite potentiality and co-creation. We get it. Our conversations are like going back and forth and everywhere, but it does. You're absolutely right. I'm not about like slow change. What has it done for us? It's created this huge, like, you know, separation between like the rich and the powerful and all of us. All, what is it? 1%, 1 or 2% of the population own like most of the wealth in the world.
It's at least 50%. It might be 90. It's absolutely overwhelming to look at this. And here's the thing. This is not some divine design. This didn't come out of nowhere. Human beings sat and imagined this and then put their hands to creating this. They put that thought into others' minds and put them to work creating this. So when Lisa and I are sitting here talking about co-creation and making change quickly, these aren't new things. Our powers to co-create are not new.
Yeah.
They are how we got here. Mm-hmm. We've always done it. It's always been the way. What we're asking you to do now is change what we're creating.
Absolutely.
Put in the components.
I was even going to say, I'm going to take it another level. If you guys just remember who you are,
yes,
the whole world will change. Like, and Mina was talking about it. It's almost instant. Mm-hmm. It's almost instant. And we are all holding that space for this to happen. We're like, what we want, we are going to see this happen in front of our eyes, Mina.
Yeah. Which is amazing.
It's going to be incredible.
It's going to feel instantaneous, but the reality is this moment is thousands of years in the making.
It was. Oh, it's, you're going to make me cry. You're going to make me cry. Because everyone will go back and they're all like, that's what they were talking about on the podcast. They're all, so if you and you got this far, if you're with us, you totally get it. And if you're kind of like, what the heck are they talking about? You just watch in front of your eyes, and we just encourage you really to lead with your heart. And yes, really, even the first part of it is you take the journey within. Mm-hmm. When you take the journey within, you will find the brightest and light and your highest purpose. Even in just that journey, you will serve the collective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. All you really need for this too, it's just three little things: your courage, mm-hmm, curiosity, and integrity. The courage to face the unknown inside you. The curiosity to explore it when you get there. And the integrity to accept it for what it is, without projecting, without categorizing or quantifying or qualifying it. The integrity to accept what you find there as it is. That's all you have to do.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that's the title of our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I know this time went by fast, and that's exactly how I feel. But that's Mina, nice. Really quick, while we have just a few more minutes, could you tell us about your podcast and let people know how they can get a hold of you? Because I definitely want you guys to follow Mina, because she's going to be our president one day. President of the universe.
Oh my gosh. Right. President of United Earth. I think that's the one that United was on Discovery. That was on Discovery, Forging a New Path. All right. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
You'll be my campaign manager.
I will be your campaign manager.
So you can find me at Forging Fortune. That's forgingfortune.com. My podcast is hosted there. You can get over to my biography from there. And if you sign up for my email list, you will be the first to know about a new project that I will be launching here in May, where you will have a space to explore these things, understand your being as a mechanism, and then create a solution that looks just like you. It's applied biomimicry.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing. You told me about that, Mina, but there's your surprise, you guys. This is exactly what I'm saying. Season 5 has been absolutely magnificent and exquisite. It's been sublime so far. And I won't ever be able to put into words the type of souls and humans that got attracted to this podcast and what we're going to be doing. So hang tight, everyone. Thank you so much, Mina, for being a part of the 8 Billion podcast. I know for sure this is not going to be the last time you're on here, and you always have a platform to be on. So thank you so much.
You're so wonderful. Thank you. Thanks everybody for listening.
Yes. Thank you everyone for tuning in to this week's episode of 8 Billion Podcast, and we will catch you on the next one. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the 8 Billion Podcast. If it's moved you in any way, please share your thoughts or give us a review on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. To listen to more episodes, go to 8billionpodcast.com, or to learn more about our mission, go to 8billionproject.com.